This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Your number is 877-217-5757, and our email is talk@talklouisiana.org. And we're joined by Zach Williams from North Carolina, holds a Bachelor of Arts from North Carolina State University, and he was a young man many years ago, 40 to be exact, when Bo Ryan left North Carolina State to become the head coach at LSU. He was an up-and-comer, only 34 years old, and he died in a plane crash 6 weeks after he was hired. Zach's book is 40 Minutes to Baton Rouge, examining the tragic death and the life of Bo Ryan. The fact that Ryan never actually coached a day at LSU muddies emotional waters and creates an unfortunate chasm between those who knew him and those who never got the chance. He was an exceptional man. Zach has been with us before, and many of you may have heard that discussion with him. But Zach, when I say he was an exceptional man, for 34 years old, he accomplished more than most people do in two or three lifetimes.
Yes, sir. I appreciate you having me on. Bo was an up-and-comer. Gosh, he had the, I guess some would call it plain old luck or good fortune or whatever to have been, had the mentors like Woody Hayes, Lou Holtz, and Frank Broyles. And just everywhere he went, you know, he was a winner. He never lost a high school football game. He was a two-sport star at Ohio State. And again, he just had the mentorship of some great, great coaches.
Well, he and pilot Lewis Binscotter left Shreveport on this date 40 years ago on a Cessna 441. The flight was a 40-minute trip if things had gone according to schedule. But Binscotter rerouted east to avoid a storm, and air traffic control lost contact with him. And all these years later, we really don't know what happened. What's your best guess?
All it is a guess because nothing was ever found. Nothing was recovered of the aircraft. So we really don't know, but it's speculation. But from the very get-go, I mean, those who are aviation experts, they thought either you got an oxygen problem or some kind of catastrophic medical condition. We know pretty much that the plane was operational because it was doing what it was supposed to do after they rerouted after the storm. It just headed in a northeasterly position for about 1,000 miles for the next 3 hours until it did what it was supposed to do. It ran out of gas, and then it just plummeted into the ocean. So the plane, by all accounts, was, from what we know, was in good condition. It was a brand-new aircraft also.
And flew over Raleigh, North Carolina, where Ryan's wife and two daughters were sleeping.
It did. That was the eerie part of it.
Now, a listener notes that after being tracked on radar, Zach, the aircraft was intercepted by the U.S. Air National Guard. What happened when the guard found out what was going on? You tell us the details.
Two fighter pilots from Seymour Johnson Air Force Base in Goldsboro, North Carolina, intercepted a plane over North Carolina, and they followed it continuing eastward towards Virginia, and then an aircraft fighter from Langley picked it up, and they had visual contact with the plane. This was at about 41,000 feet, and what they could see was that the exterior and interior lights were on, the windows were not frosted over, and there were no signs of obvious damage to the fuselage. So again, the plane looked like it was doing what it was supposed to be doing, and they followed it out to sea about 100 miles off of Cape Charles, Virginia, until it eventually ran out of fuel, which they knew at some point it was going to happen.
The wreckage was never found.
The wreckage was never found. There were a few items of debris that were spotted, but it was never recovered because there were kind of choppy seas that particular night.
And just an unbelievable scenario of these people following this plane right into the ocean.
Right. It was surreal because coaches and staff at LSU, many of them met at the air traffic control at the airport, and some of them actually listened to the traffic control as the plane went down real time. Again, it was a three-hour odyssey, and you had a lot of time to sit there and digest, hey, if we can't get this pilot, you know, to recognize what was going on, you know, we knew what was going to happen. It was eventually going to run out of fuel, so they were able to follow it for the next 3 hours.
And there has been some speculation. It's possible that something happened to the pilot. What about Louis Binscotter, who's kind of the forgotten person in this tragedy?
He is. He was a very, very skilled pilot, much training, experienced. A lot of times with these accidents, sometimes the obvious is you know the culprit. And one of the things that was bandied about was that maybe he was just completely exhausted. He had worked, by today's standards, much longer than a pilot would be allowed to work. He had, at that point when he picked up Bo, it had been about a 16-hour day for him. And then he still had to travel from Shreveport to Baton Rouge. Could have been just simple fatigue. It happens. You know, it happens when we're driving in our vehicles. And that and the combination of maybe there was something, a slow leak, you know, causing the depressurization of the fuselage of the airplane. We just don't know.
But in those small planes, it's a treacherous journey if something happens to the pilot, obviously. Bo Ryan was not a pilot, so if he saw Louis Binscotter in trouble, what were his options?
Not a lot. And add to the fact that Bo was known to, that was his safe haven, to get in the airplane. Every time he got into a plane, whether it's commercial or private, people who traveled with him said he was asleep within, you know, minutes. And that particular day, he had a long recruiting day in Shreveport, and on the trip to Shreveport, and everybody knew that he would have definitely been tired. And if he had followed his traditional MO, he'd have gotten a plane, and probably before takeoff, he'd have been, you know, napping. So if there had been something to go wrong with the pilot, he may never have woken up just because he was asleep.
Where was he seated relative to Binscotter?
That we don't know. It would have been, of course, I think it was a seven-seater aircraft, seven or eight seats. We don't know exactly his position because, you know, obviously nobody else was on the plane with him.
So he could have been next to him. He could have been in the back.
Right. What we pretty much know is that Binscotter was pretty much by the book. He did not allow anybody to sit in the co-pilot seat. So that's the one area that we don't think he was, but you know, any of the other seats, we just don't know.
Bo Ryan was 34. This is 1980. So do the math. 40 years later, he would be 74, probably still alive. And there are coaches of that age who are still going. And think about Nick Saban is 68, only 6 years younger, and his contract runs well past 74 years old. And during the time that has passed since Bo Ryan died, LSU's had Jerry Stovall as a head coach, Bill Arnsparger, Mike Archer, Curly Hallman, Jerry DiNardo, Hal Hunter, Nick Saban, Les Miles, Ed Orgeron. Think of all those coaches and all the wins and losses in a terrible period between 1989 and 1999 when LSU had eight losing seasons in 11 years. Bo Ryan might still be the coach. That's not out of the realm of possibility, and people who know him say he was that good. Zach, do you think he would have been here a long time?
I do. He was an innovator in many ways, from integration to just his offensive philosophy with the twin veer offense. Many think he was maybe Steve Spurrier ahead of his time. You know, he would have brought some of that offensive innovation to the SEC, you know, similar to the way Spurrier did. And he's been compared to Nick Saban and his style and his love for football, his aggressiveness, and just his, you know, the way he coached. He was a player's coach. Players loved him wherever he went. And that the common thread was that he cared about his players.
His death happened so fast. Zach, I talked recently with Alan Risher, who would have been his quarterback and was a very good one, and he said he never met the man. He was head coach for 6 weeks, and you can imagine he's shoring things up where he's leaving, and then he comes here, and he's hiring a staff, and he's recruiting. And it's interesting that it was such a whirlwind that he didn't even know his starting quarterback. He never really had a chance to get his feet on the ground.
Right. His death happened just after midnight on Friday morning, which would have been January the 11th. The plane took off on January 10th. That Monday, right after the weekend, he was scheduled to have his first team meeting with the players. So, you know, as luck would have it, he did not get a chance to meet most of the players. I think there were a few that he might have passed on campus, but as a group, he never had a group team meeting at all.
And he left North Carolina State as champion of the ACC, and LSU Monday night will face the champions of the ACC in Clemson for the national championship. A bit of an irony.
LSU, it is.
Yeah.
A pivotal game in that championship season was NC State went to Death Valley, well, Clemson's Death Valley, and actually had a goal line stand and won. That's what won the ACC for the Wolfpack, pretty much. And they're playing Clemson, you know, of course, Monday night.
And Clemson in 1979 was pretty good. 2 years later, they won the national championship with Nelson Stokely, former LSU quarterback, as their offensive coordinator. And Monday night, it should be quite a game, Zach.
That's correct. Danny Ford was the head coach.
Danny Ford was the head coach in 1979 for Clemson. And a year earlier, Woody Hayes ended his career by slugging Clemson linebacker Charlie Bowman. We'll
and
talk.
Bo Ryan was at that game, too.
Okay, we got to roll. But, Zach, the book is 40 Minutes to Baton Rouge.